follow. So getting back, so those are the time periods. The time periods are the 3 weeks, the 9 days, perhaps Shavua, Shachobo, and Tisha B'Av. So really, we didn't have Gemara. It only talks about Shavua, Shachobo. And even then, I think it's only real Buster. The Minhag Ashkenaz is much more expansive. We expanded it to the 3 weeks. There are some, I don't know too many, who don't eat meat during the 3 weeks. Our Minhag is from the Rosh Chodesh of, not to eat meat unless it's a Sudas Mitzvah. But really, Me'ikra Din HaGemara, again, amongst Svardim, you have different Minhagim. Some Svardim only go with Shua Shachobo. And perhaps there is no Shua Shachobo this year. This is what I mean. I might as well tell you right now. Because it's a big discussion. We'll go into it more perhaps at a later date. Because what, in other words, if Tisha B'Av is, the 9th of Av falls out on Shabbos, but we're fasting on the 10th of Av. So the question is, how are we viewing this? In other words, if you view Tisha B'Av as really being on the 9th of Av, so then the whole week is Shua Shachobo, because Shabbos is the last day of the week. But if you assume Tisha B'Av, practically, obviously it's the 10th day of Av on the calendar, but if you assume the 10th day of Av is really the 9th of Av, practically speaking, Sunday is the first day of the week. So, okay, Shua Shachobo, but it's Tisha B'Av, so that's the whole debate. Yeah, so therefore, I think the Mechaber brings down two opinions. It's whether it's Shua Shachobo or not. And I think Chacham Avadja is Mako. He says for Svardim, there's no Shua Shachobo this year. In other words, it makes a difference for everyone in the sense that there's no Din HaGemara on anything, you know, on the 3 weeks, 9 days. That doesn't mean you don't keep the Minhag. The Minhag is less strict. In other words, if you have a greater need, so then there's more room to be lenient on different things because Shua Shachobo begins the real Din HaGemara. The rest is a later institution. Doesn't mean we don't keep it. We keep the 3 weeks, even though it's not in the Gemara. But the 9 days plays a bigger role. Besides Bishan Nechnasov, it's usually Shua Shachobo. If you assume it's not Shua Shachobo, so things that maybe you wouldn't usually do on a regular year, but if there's a need, you're more like a fast day shenidchet, it's pushed off. With more mako, if you fast on the 10th of Av than the 9th. So the bottom line is, practically speaking, according to Avadji Yosef, there's no Shua Shachobo, and therefore, let's say for Svardim, they could do laundry the whole week. Again, among Svardim, some are makbid not to have meat, some aren't. So again, when I talk about Svardim in general, they're all over the map, meaning they all have, which is fine. I'm not saying it negatively. Moroccan, depending where you come from, you have different minhagim. So, but those who only keep the Shua Shachobo, whether it's better or worse, I don't know, but they'll have less restrictions anyway. I guess I'll say it'd be harder for them to feel Tisha B'Av because they won't have the preparation. How about that? But either way, maybe we'll take that and end up developing. So the bottom line is we have the different we have the different time periods and they're different prohibitions. So we know
you see the Sardim have different customs. What about Ashkenazim? In a case like this, would it be the whole week or just the day?
No, what I'm saying is, on a practical level, it doesn't make that much of a difference because we keep the 9 days anyway, but Torah's Minhag. The 9 days aren't in the... So, the, you know, well, what's in the Mishnah is...
9 days.
Yeah, what's in the Mishnah is, Mishen Nichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, but doesn't give me a specific... there are things it lists, but it doesn't list not having meat per se. You know, we'd assume Ein Simcha L'Basar V'Yayin, but so I'm just saying it does affect more. It could be something about maybe cutting your nails. I think I remember something, but the bottom line, it's more not so much the change as how severe the issue is, and there's more room to be lenient.
Yes.
Versus for Svardim, who only keep Shua Shachobo, it's a practice, they don't have to work, there is no Shua Shachobo. If you assume like Avadji Yosef does, again, that's a debate, whether we assume there is a Shua Shachobo, at least it's a debate on it, which itself could be more room. So we know, so during the 3 weeks, the different minhagim, let's say haircuts, weddings, some, you know, music, and then the 9 days, meat and wine, and some other laundry, other things, and then Tisha B'Av. So the question is, what is the status of these days? So many assume it's just a mishmash. You take a little from Shiva, a little from Shoshim, a little from Yud Beis Chodesh, and that's the minig. The Soloveitchiks don't go for that. Rav Soloveitchik is makpid on, if you're going to have minhagim, they have to be based on some geder in halacha. You can't just make up. You can't, oh, let me take a little from here, a little from there, and let's call it the 9 days, call it the 3 weeks. It has to be some precedent for this type of avela. So Rav Soloveitchik says, we know, we have to go back to the original din of avelas when you lose a loved one. So there's a din of Shiva, there's a din of Shloshim, and there's a din of Yud Beis Chodesh. And therefore we know, Shiva is the most severe. You don't leave your house, sit on the ground, then you line up on Shloshim, and then only for a parent you have Kivud Avim, you have Yud Beis Chodesh. So he points out that, so too, that's how we have to view these three periods. The 3 weeks is like Yud Beis Chodesh, a discussion whether he says the 9 days or Shrosh HaChobo. I've seen them both quoted. It has a din of Shloshim, and Tisha B'Av has a din of an Avel, like you sit on the ground, etc. So the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, you can't make up your own minhagim, you have to base them on previous halakhic guidelines. However, he points out, but it works in the opposite direction, because in natural Avelis, it goes from Minachomer el Akal. Shiv is the most strict. Then you move into Shloshim, and then you move into Yud Beis Chodesh. He says, how come over here it's the opposite? Over here, we begin with the Kal and go to the Chomer. 3 weeks, 9 days, Shua Shechobo, and Tisha B'Av. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, because there's a fundamental difference between what we call Avelis Chadasha and Avelis Yishana. Old Avelis and new Avelis. New Avelis means you just lost a loved one. So in Avelis Chadasha, you don't have to, no one has to tell you how to feel. It's reactionary. It hits me right here. I just lost a mother, father. I lost a loved one. Don't worry. I'm going to feel it. Hopefully time heals, but I'm going to feel it right away. And then I need my Shiva. I got it. And then, you know, as Shiva to Shloshim, I lightens up a little, because that's the natural way of a human being. Time's supposed to heal a little. You never forget your loved one, but you can't live the rest of your life in Shiva either. That's why you have to get up from Shiva and move on. You got to take a walk around the block, so to speak, symbolically, to show you're ready for the next stage. You have to realize it's the new normal. You might not be happy with the new normal, but you got to move on. And then Shoshim, then the Yud Beis Chodesh, that's the 3 weeks. So he says, how come it's the opposite? Because when it comes to Avelis Chadasha, so therefore it's new. So therefore, as time goes on, you're getting further away, and therefore it lightens up. However, when it comes to Avelis Yishana, or you might want to call it national mourning instead of personal mourning, the whole Jewish people are mourning. So that's mourning event that happened a long time ago, thousands of years ago. So you can't just wake up one morning and jump into it. It's hard enough to jump into it when you start 3 weeks in advance. So what do? It's hard to mourn the Beis HaMikdash when we never had it. So therefore we have to start doing some Nihugei Avelis to get ourselves in the mood. So we stop with the weddings, we stop with the haircuts, etc., to start getting into the mood. Then we move into the 9 days, no meat and wine, whatever the other things. And then, hopefully, by then, maybe we're ready for Tisha B'Av. So when it comes to Avelis national mourning, it's something, an event that happened a long time ago. We need time to prepare, to get used to it. But by Avelis Chadasha, I don't need any, there's nothing to prepare. But my emotions hit me right away. I don't wake up 2 years later and say, wow, I really feel terrible now. I mean, it does happen to people who don't mourn. Everyone has to mourn, and we say it's best to mourn right away. If you don't mourn, then it will hit you later. But that's why Judaism and psychiatrists all agree that's the best way of doing things. And in fact, that's the famous story with Napoleon, not the cake, but the person that he was traveling one time. I guess it must have been Tisha B'Av, and he walked by and he heard a lot of crying in the synagogue. So he asked his advisor, what's going on? And so they walked in, they said, what's going on here? They said, we lost our temple and we're crying over it. So he said to his advisor, well, you're supposed to keep me in the loop. I didn't hear any current events about the Jews losing their temple. So they said, no, we lost that temple 1,000 years ago, whatever it was, many years ago. And so Napoleon said to his advisor, people that cry over something that happened 1,000 years ago, that's a nation with the future. They're going to have a Beis HaMikdash again. In other words, when it comes to national mourning, it's a totally different feeling. You have to work up to it. It's more like, academic, and then hopefully when we say the keynotes, we start feeling it. Those are the different areas of, as Rav Soloveitchik put it. So, and there are practical differences. Like, according to Rav Soloveitchik, there'll be kulas and chumras, depending on what the scenario is. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik, he was lenient on shaving during the 3 weeks. Why? Why did he say you're allowed to shave during the 3 weeks? The standard is you don't shave during the 3 weeks. Why did he say, so others say that we shave during that's just the minute of the 3 weeks. Rav Soloveitchik says it's categories. We have to go back to Yud Beis Chodesh. The halacha is, on Yud Beis Chodesh, so an Avil is allowed to shave. The Gemara talks about a person comes over to you and says, you look like a menuvel. You can even take a haircut. But he says, you look like a menuvel. And that was the whole discussion. Let's say you couldn't, so by an Avil, you're allowed to take a haircut during Yud Beis Chodesh because that's the halacha Yud Beis Chodesh. When someone says you look like a menuvel, that was a discussion. Let's say it was during COVID, the barbers were closed, and now let's say Yud Beis, let's say the first time you could take a haircut, even if you weren't in Yud Beis Chodesh, was during Svira, during Svira, let's say during the 3 weeks. So that's a discussion then if how far you go with the heterim in terms of it was, because usually the usual distinction between a haircut and shaving is that a haircut is you only need one haircut, so you can take a haircut before the 3 weeks, so therefore we're not going to let you take one during. But if you shave every day, so I can't tell you why I shave before the 3 weeks, I don't have to shave anymore. So therefore they point out in a situation maybe where you couldn't get a haircut and let's say you really needed one for business, other reasons, so they have parnasa, because in general we don't let a minute get in the way of parnasa, because it's only a minute not to shave or not to take a haircut during the 3 weeks. And let's say you had an important business meeting, and let's say, or you wouldn't get the job, or you'd lose a client, so then there's a strong case to be made that one can. We got to get into the details of the case, but it's a strong case that you don't have a minig interfering with parnasa. It depends what minig, this and that. But either way, so Rav Soloveitchik felt that the 3 weeks is like Yud Beis Chodesh. So therefore, there's no problem. So he said, no, again, so someone who has a beard and doesn't shave, so he agrees, they don't shave. But someone who shaves daily, it's a machok, some say daily, every other day, whichever detail you want to take in it. It depends how often one shaves. Like if you have to wait a day or two. Again, also we assume you don't have to wait for someone to tell you you look like a menuvel. You could either your wife could tell you, or you could just look in the mirror and see it yourself. You don't have to actually wait for someone to tell you. So therefore, the 3 weeks, if you shave daily, so he says, so it's Yud Beis Chodesh, you look like a menuvel, and therefore you're allowed to shave. So therefore, well, according to others, the standard psak is you can't shave during the, let's say Rav Moshe, you can't shave for no reason. Even Rav Moshe agrees, but Makom Parnasa you could shave. That's nothing to do. In other words, you have a mitzvah of Parnasa, shavings of minhag. He agrees also, but I'm saying Rav Soloveitchik holds there is no iser on you. Like luchatchila, you could, in fact, according to Rav Soloveitchik, if you have a heter to shave, you have a chiyuv to shave because it's obligated. A ben Torah can't walk around like a menuvel. It's a chil Hashem. You got to look appropriate. So therefore, if you're allowed to shave, you have to shave according to Rav Soloveitchik. So therefore, I'm just saying, even if you don't need it for business, he's just saying you're allowed to shave. Rav Moshe says don't shave, but if you need it for parnasa, you can shave. So, as they used to say, it is during Sfira, but it probably applies during the 3 weeks also. They used to say, what about going to a baseball game? I guess baseball's during Sfira and baseball's now during the 3 weeks. So, which one? So, are you allowed to go to a baseball game? So, according to Rav Moshe, yes. There was no Isser in the 3 weeks or Sfira about telling you to go to a baseball game per se, a public gathering. However, if Soloveitchik holds, it's a din in Yud Beis Chodesh. That in Yud Beis Chodesh, again, assuming that gets into what you think about going to a game during, let's assume you can't go to a game during Yud Beis Chodesh. So then so it's a kula by shaving, but it's a chumra by going to a game. So I like to say tongue in cheek, if you're going to go to a game, you have to have a beard. But obviously you don't really have to because Rav Moshe agrees if you need it for parnasa, you're allowed to shave also, but just to get the point across. So therefore, so there's cool, again, in anything, there's always coolers and chumras depending on, you know, which direction you go into. And then you have the 9 days, which is coming up, Rosh Chodesh Av is this week. So then Minhag Ashkenaz is we stay away from Basar V'Yayin. Except, is a debate, the minhag generally is even on Rosh Chodesh, we don't have it. But there are the Chidah brings down, there are some opinions that say like Rosh Chodesh, it's a Sudas Mitzvah, why can't we have Basar V'Yayin? I think the standard minhag Ashkenaz is not to. I guess where the Shaila comes up, sometimes is, it's more Thursday night, is let's say you're coming home, you know, and you have a late dinner. Like, so, you know, and it's, let's say, Rosh, how makbid to have to stop by Shkia. So obviously, lechatchila, you should try to finish your meal by Shkia to avoid the Shaila. However, in a case where you couldn't, Shalom Bayis issues, whatever, so, you know, so number one, again, it's only a minute. I'm not saying only a minute. We keep minhagim. But plus the fact that there are shittas that say Rosh Chodesh, so you know, let's say, so Ben HaShmashas is, you know, you could say there'll be more room to be makel depending on the scenario. You know, I guess it's the same thing by the ones or anything else. But the general accepted was the minhag Ashkenaz, again, minhag Svar could be you have meat all 9 days. But the minhag Ashkenaz, we try to finish by Shkia because in theory, that's when it starts, the 9 days. It starts at night, so therefore we try to finish. But and therefore it comes up, this will be we'll have the Shaila this Saturday night in terms of making Havdalah. We'll have a different Shaila the following week because that'll be a Tisha B'Av Shachol on Motzai Shabbos. That'll be a separate cheer. But about having wine for Havdalah, like what's the story? So, because we know that, for, as we said, for Sudas Mitzvah, if you have a Siyam, you're allowed to have a meal Shabbos. Not you're allowed. It's not a dispensation. In fact, we paskin next Shabbos, meaning not in 2 weeks. Tisha B'Av Shabbos, we paskin. You could have a Suda like Shlomo HaMelech. We assume no Avelas at all. Even though it's Shabbos Chazon, that you shouldn't affect your Shabbos meal, so certainly we're not worried about this coming Shabbos. But, so Sudas Mitzvah, you always have. And then, so therefore, so they bring down, so it's actually, looks like a Machlokas Machaber Ramah. What about making Havdalah over wine this coming Motzai Shabbos? So the Machaber seems to write yes, if I recall. And the Rama writes, L'chadchila, you should try to give it to a katan, but not any katan. Someone who's old enough that he's a gia l'chinuch, but not old enough, he doesn't know really about Zechu l'churba and whatever. So whatever you find, I don't know, 6 to 9, whatever the age is. And he says, but if not, then he seems to say that if not, you could drink. If there's no katan, then you could drink it. Yeah, Jeff, you have a kasha?
Would it help to drink grape juice instead of wine?
Yeah, I'll get to that. If grape juice, I'll get to if grape juice is better or not. Yeah, so the simple reading of the Machaber is, to me, is the pashtus. So last I checked, Havdolah is a mitzvah. It perhaps even could be a mitzvah deraisa, according to the Rambam, even though the drinking of the wine might only be drabbanan, but it's a drabbanan which has a kiyum and a deraisa. So the machaber seems to be pshuta. Of course, why can't I make a why should a minhag of the 9 days affect my mitzvah? Everyone knew there's a mitzvah havdalah before the 9 days. So how could the rabbis tell me not to do my mitzvah properly? So the pashtus to me is like the machaber. So I would say why not? Okay, so the Ramah says. He says better to give it to a kid. I guess he thinks there's a lichat chila of not having wine, which I'm not sure why not. Like, what if you assume it's a dvar mitzvah? I guess he's assuming it's true it's a dvar mitzvah, but if you could find a hecha timsa, I guess by a siyam, I guess that's the only way. By a siyam to fulfill your siyam. I mean, you could have a siyam with dairy. But I'm just saying, I guess, but to fulfill your siyum properly, you know, by not having meat at the siyum, you'll be taking away from the siyum. So therefore, we don't want the 9 days. But apparently, maybe he's assuming it's your same havdalah. You get your same mitzvah, you know, maybe along those lines. But by Ikar Adin, it seems to be, even according to the Ramah, push comes to shove. And I'll go a step, but he doesn't say it, but I don't think you have to wake up a katan either. Especially in the summer months, like it could be 10 o'clock at night, 9:30. So Me'ikar Adin, according to the Ramah and the Machaber, and the Machaber even says, L'chadchila, you could drink, you know, which is the Pashas, it's a Sudas Mitzvah, it's a Havdalah is a Mitzvah, so why not drink wine? So yet there's a minhag of people making Havdalah over beer. So where does that come from? So, I mean, it doesn't come from the Aruch HaShulchan, even though he writes, he seems to be pushing the beer angle. But the issue is, what about, forget about this week. Can I make Havdalah over Chama Medina on a regular week? In other words, could I use beer or whatever or something else, juice, whatever I use? Am I allowed to use, could I use Chama Medina for Havdalah or not? So, yes and no. It depends. It's clearly you can. We see the case in the Gemara. The bottom line is you can use Chama Medina for Havdalah. The question is, what was the scenario there? So some Rishonim Poskim say, that's a bidyeved. It was a case where there was no wine, when there was no wine available. So, okay, so what choice do you have? We're not going to tell you not to make Havdalah. So make it over, but b'makom wine, you should never make it over Chama Medina. That's what, so, and the other sheet is no, there was wine available. Chama Medina is okay. It's l'chadchila to use, you can l'chadchila use beer every week. You can make Havdalah. We see from the Gemara, it didn't actually say in the Gemara there was no wine available. I have to check what the Gemara actually says, but the bottom line is, so it depends how you assume. If you assume that the only time you're allowed to use Chama Medina is when there's no wine, so that's the Shaila. Do I say during the 9 days, do I physically have wine? But do I say since in the 9 days, I'm not allowed to drink wine, so should I view it as not having wine? And you have to assume that. Plus, you have to assume that Chama Medina is l'chadchila also. Like that, in other words, that even if it had wine, I mean, if you hold Chama Medina is l'chadchila, so then no matter what, you should use. If Chama Medina is Lechatchila, so then it makes sense why you should use beer. Why get involved in the I don't think it is a Shaila, but apparently some do. But if there's a, why get involved with wine if you could be Yotze with beer? Anyway, I mean, Yotze Lechatchila. According to everybody, if you made Havdolah over beer, or I shouldn't say everybody, but Halacha Lamais, because some people think, let me put it this way. According to everybody, if you make Havdolah over Chama Medina, Yotze. What is Chama Medina? That's a separate shir. What constitutes Chama? But according to everyone, the only shaila is that b'di'evet l'chatchila. So if you assume it's l'chatchila, then I understand the argument. Okay, so l'chatchila, either give it to a katan or drink Chama Medina. But if you hold it's b'di'evet, that really you should always make it over wine, so then you have to view that the 9 days, since there's a minig not to drink wine, we view it as wine is not available. If wine is not available, so then, well, okay, so you can make Havdolah and Chama Medina. So that's a major debate. From the Machaba and the Ramah, it seems that wine is the preferable drink. The only machlokas lechatchila is whether I could just drink it myself. Everyone agrees you can. The question is, should I try to find a katan or not? However, the Arach HaShulchan and others, they're in the Chama Medina camp. So therefore, they think Chama Medina is better, either because based on the reasons I outlined. So I think L'chadchila, I think, as Jeff mentioned, I think grape juice is the best method. And that's why I think it's the opinion of Rav Yitzchok Abadi. Rav Yitzchok Abadi, a Rav in Lakewood, why is grape juice better? So the question is, why is grape, really, generally speaking, grape juice has a din of wine. So in other words, I could drink beer during the 9 days. I can't drink grape juice. It's anything that has a boy pre agafins, it's a din of wine. Again, assuming grape, I'm not getting into another debate whether grape juice is, but we passing grape juice is boy pre agafin. And therefore the issue is, can I make wine over, can I do kiddush over grape juice? But I'm assuming the minig is yes. I'm not getting into that debate. So why is drinking grape juice, why does Rav Abadi think, and I liked his logic, why does he think grape juice is better than wine? What are you gaining? According to the Arach HaShulchan, it's wine. It's Borei Pri HaGafen. You should do it. And according to the Rama Mechaber, everyone agrees wine's better than grape juice, l'chadchila, right? Because grape juice has its own shilas. So the answer is because based on two factors. The question is, why don't we drink wine during the 9 days? So there's two possibilities. One is Misha Nichnas of Mim'atin B'Simcha, and Ein Yayin Ein Simcha El B'Yayin. So wine is Simcha. So therefore, grape juice is not Simcha, and in terms of actual. And then another reason is because it's connected to Churban Habayis, that they used to use wine on them, that they used to use wine on the Mizbeach. So therefore, we don't have the Karbanos today. You can't do the Yayin Nisach, the other things. So therefore, the two reasons not to have wine, out Simcha and out Zechu Churban. So Rabadi says none of them apply to grape juice. You can't use grape juice on a korban ever. That's why the Rambam holds you need to make kiddush over wine, not grape juice. And there's no simcha in grape juice. So Rabadi thinks grape juice, and that's what I go. I think grape juice is the best pshara is to make. But the push comes to shove, I'd say l'chadchila grape juice. Based on the lumdis, I think wine is better. Generally, if you make Havdolah and wine every week, I think wine and then wine would be the next bet. And then, I agree also, Chama Medina works. If you don't have wine, so you do a Chama Medina. But again, so it's yesh v'yesh among the poskim, and different kehilas have different minhagim. I'm just outlining the issues of why grape juice would be better, what's the benefit over wine, over Chama Medina, why would someone argue Chama Medina over wine? I'm just giving you the gedarim, and I told you what I would do. But in terms of, different minhagim, so different places they'll use Chama Medina, other Abba's going into why, if you're going to use Chama Medina, these are the assumptions you have to be working with for it to think Chama Medina is better, etc. Yeah, you have a question?
Yeah, what do you think? Is doing grape juice even better than doing it on wine and giving it to a katan, if you have a katan?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I guess it can't hurt. I guess I'd say probably, it's even a little better because maybe you get some simcha from drinking grape, not the simcha of wine, but, I mean,
yes.
I mean, it's minimal, but if at least this, I agree, is then it's better in the sense that you're following the minhag haramah. So at least, so if I don't have to drink it, yes, if you could find that katan, so then yes. But yeah, so that would be better because then you're doubling down on both. I'm following the minhag haramah and I'm not drinking. So probably, yeah, if you could find the katan, according to the, I don't see that many people, having a cut and drinking. I guess you have to find, probably because it's late at night, but whatever. Yeah, but that is the Ramah, those are the different minhagim. So to summarize, we're in the Ben HaMitzarim, we have the 3 weeks, 9 days, Shavuot Shachobo, and Tisha B'Av this year, perhaps there might not be a Shavuot Shachobo. Very halacha l'maisa for Sfardim, a little less halacha l'maisa for Ashkenaz. I think if I recall something about cutting yinels for Shabbos, maybe Shabbos Chazon. I'm not sure about that. I just remember some nafgamina. I have to check. But the bottom line, it's not so much of a practical as in general, if you have a tzarach, there's more room to be mako because there's no din ha-gemara of Shua Shachol. You know, again, assuming it's a machokas. If you assume there is a Shua Shachol, then it's a regular. It's a regular year, but if you assume, and then, which touches on the next shiloh, whether Tisha B'Av is a nitcha or not. Because it depends which day do we view Tisha B'Av, so we'll have to go into that. And we said Rav Soloveitchik, the 3 weeks is like Yud Beis Chodesh, and 9 days Shloshim, Tisha B'Av is like Shiva, but they go in opposite order, Aveilos Chadosh, Aveilos Shishana, and therefore, one is you feel right away and it gets lighter, the other way it's national mourning, you have to develop the feeling. And then we pointed out different kulas and chumras. According to Rav Soloveitchik, you could shave, even l'chatchil, if you shave every day. But let's say it wouldn't be appropriate to go to a Blue Jay game or a Met game. But according to others, there's no technical prohibition. Maybe you can go to a baseball game because there's nothing about, it's a mishmash, so they never put that one in, so therefore it's okay. But shaving, generally, no. But even though, but even Ramosha agrees, but Makam Parnasa, you don't let a minute get in the way. And that's why also, this is where it would come into play. Let's say, according to Rav Soloveitchik, let's say, the heter is during the 3 weeks. If the 9 days are shloshim, so generally there's no heter to shave during shloshim. So what do you do then? So that's a discussion what he would say. But the others point out, which is probably a better reason, is really only Shavuot Shachobo is midin ha-gemara. So up until Shua Shacholbo, it's only midin minug. So you have a parnas, b'makam parnas, so we don't apply the minug. And if this year you don't have Shua Shacholbo, so the whole thing is a minug. So there'll be more reason. You have more room in halacha to be mako and shave the whole time because if you need it for parnasa. Of course, if you need it for other reasons, let's say you work in health facilities, and they don't want you, we're having a beard, assuming that anti-Semitic, because of like with the COVID and with, you know, the mask going on. So, you know, obviously those reasons, that's something else. Obviously you ask, every case is different, but in terms of if you assume there's no Shua Shachobo, so everything is just a pure minig, it's not even Medina Gemara, and then there's more room to be lenient on different shilas. Then we discussed Bishanichnas of B'matim B'simcha, so Basa V'yayin, except for Makam Mitzvah. And the Shaila is, why is Havdalah Shaila? Isn't that Makam Mitzvah? So yeah, but Machaber seems to say yes. The Rama also seems to say yes, but why not get in? Let's hedge, give it to a Katan if we could find one, if not drink it. And the Aruch HaShulchan seems to say no. Chama Medina, that gets into are you allowed to use Chama Medina L'chadchila all year round? I think the Aruch HaShulchan assumes, yes, he could have been He could have lived in a place where they didn't have... See, a lot of the places didn't have grape juice, didn't exist, and also there was no... Wine was too expensive, so they have those... Yeah. So in a case today where wine is rampant, so then that's a debate, whether... If you assume it's Cham or Medina, you yotze. The Shaila is Lechatchila, if I would... should I make Havdol on Cham or Medina? So many say no, and others say, you know, others... people say, yeah, you could use Cham or Medina all year round. So if you do Cham or Medina all year round, so then that's easy. So then why not? Then I think that's what Darach HaShulchan writes. Then do it all. If you use it every week, then don't switch to wine this week. You know, then it makes sense now. But if you go with wine all week, it's not so simple. It's a problem. And because you're assuming that the minhag doesn't break up the halacha, and they'll assume that the halacha of not drinking wine in the 9 days maybe makes it like wine isn't matzoi, whatever lumdis they want to say. So either way, whatever you do is fine. Your physical body says grape juice, because therefore it seems to solve the issues of simcha and karbanos. And as Zechariah said, also if you want to fulfill the minhag haramah, make it on grape juice and find the katan, you know, between that age. Any questions?